So pleased to have Dr. Lisa Van Susteren in studio with me. Lisa Van Susteren is a practicing psychiatrist, has been on the show once or twice before, but never in this context where we, following a visit with by the Pope and being involved in that, kind of inspired me, and certainly she's already inspired in terms of the messages that he delivered, to share with you to see if we can be a part of you understanding from your a personal standpoint, your home, your family, your finances, the messages that the Pope delivered and how they impact our pocketbooks. And I want to deal with health, for instance, right now. We just had a guy charged tripled, what was the number, 200 times the cost of medicine because he could make more money, because, there was a demand for it. I'm suffering with asthma. It's hard to believe, but I do have it. And I've denied to the doctor. He says, well, you can deny it all you want, Paul, but you've got it. He says, and part of the reason you have it is the climate that you live in, the environment.
The pollution, air pollution.
Do we understand this as a people?
I don't think we're connecting the dots, because I think people have sometimes thought that taking action on climate will mean that it's expensive, and it's just the contrary. It's when we fix the climate and we fix air pollution that many of our costs will drop dramatically. The reasons we've had incursions in the Middle East, it's to protect our oil. Well, if we've got the sun and the wind right here, we don't need to be wandering around bad neighborhoods stirring up trouble. And let me also say that as far as our health care costs are concerned, the average American family, as a result of cleaning up after extreme weather events, Superstorm Sandy, $62 billion, Katrina, of course, Irene, all the never mind the loss of life, but the average family spends $400 a year paying for extreme weather events. As for the health care costs from air pollution, for example, the average family that has between 10 and 20% of Americans, depending upon the ethnicity, do have asthma, and those numbers are going up like mad, spend $3,300, $3,500 a year. And let me tell you something else that is really, really dramatic, and that is that we now know that air pollution causes inflammation in the brain, and that inflammation in the brain is a factor in diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. That air pollution comes from burning coal, oil, and gas, and it comes from higher temperatures, which facilitate that change into a polluting ozone layer. So you know what our health care costs are on Alzheimer's? Over $250 billion a year. Parkinson's is, about 100 or something like that. So it's killing us, and we don't even need to do that. We upstream solutions will have downstream health.
Amazing. Amazing. And again, my question, do Americans connect the dots on this?
We don't. And one of the issues is that we do work in silos still. So the doctors are writing their academic papers, and it's not getting into the popular press. And scientists are not great at talking to the public. That's a real problem. Scientists tend to not dramatize, so their voices are flat. They look at their shoes when they're talking. And that doesn't get people to realize there's a problem. And the other issue is that many people think, oh, we don't want to get people sad, so we'll just try to rosy over this and do a Pollyanna. And then people think there's not a problem. It's a very well-defined two-step process when you want to talk to people about taking action. First, you lay out the problem in no uncertain terms that we're going to you-know-what in a handbasket. But there are solutions if we now act with dispatch. So set it up and say, but here's what we can do about it. That's what gets people going.
Do you think, is it your sense or your feeling that maybe the visit and the words of the Pope?
This is exactly what's going to animate the message, precisely, because he is the figure. We've got the science. We already know that. The scientists have done their work. The environmentalists have been talking about policy forever and ever. What we were missing was the galvanizing moral message, so that people could hear it in their hearts, not just in an analytic way, but that's where the persuasion and the sustained interest in taking action comes, when you believe it in your heart. And that's what he did for us.
And yet a critic would say to you, well, okay, maybe, but he asked that we not execute the woman down in Georgia. He sent a letter, and the officials down there, Pope's letter or no, went ahead and did that. Did they not hear him?
Well, an individual basis is something which we can always follow up on, but the overarching message is what you look at, and that is that people have heard climate, moral, and a goodness radiating his objectivity right there in the center of Washington, D.C. You hear that over and over again in the press, here on the radio today. That's the message that gets out.
We must be starving for something.
We really, really are. And you're talking to someone who's not a religious person. I was born and raised a Catholic. My husband's Jewish. But I recognize that increasingly the sense of spirituality, a sense of revering nature and life. I've been very technologically oriented. God, I love all the gadgets. But the reality is that it is leaving us sometimes feeling empty. And I think that what he says and what he does when he comes here, he reminds us that there's something beyond our gadgets, something beyond the material world, and that's the force of life and nature.
I want to talk about the gadgets because the technology has changed. I mean, our lifestyle has changed. It used to be when you went to the office, you worked with your office mates. When you go to the office now, you open up your machine and you may never even speak to a person.
Stare at a
what
screen.
What impact does that have on us, Dr. Lisa?
A lot.
When I come back, we'll find out from you what's going on in terms of our interaction in the workplace. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. My special guest, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, a practicing psychiatrist here in the area, city of Washington, D.C., where we broadcast from. And the name sounds familiar to you. Yes, she is directly related to another Van Susteren named Greta Van Susteren, who is on the Fox Channel, I think, or CNN. I'm not quite really sure which one she is, but you know her, don't you?
I have spent some time with her, yeah. That's correct.
Now, who's the older sister? You or
I'm the older sister. I'm the one in charge.
I love it. All right. Well, you know what? One day we'll get you guys together. That would be very interesting to have you both talk about that. But as I said to you, folks in their own right, you so many folks do know Lisa Van Susteren and probably don't make that connection. The connection I want to make right now is the change. You know what? You can now work from your house. You can now do what they call telecommuting. I think it's the name of it, that where you do your work from home. You don't even have to go into the office.
You can sit in your pajamas if you want.
That's exactly right. Or you can go into the office, go into your little nook
windowless cubicle,
pull your computer up, and you never even have to speak to another person.
Right.
That has to have some...
It's very alienating. And I have to tell you, Paul, I see people coming in every day to my office. This is a new group of people. In the old days, you know, people come in that have major depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, and phobias and everything else. They're coming in now just feeling vaguely shattered. They're anxious. They feel empty. They don't know what's wrong. And I start to ask them. They sit there from, you know, day in and day out in front of a screen, not interacting with people. They don't have any daylight. By the time they get out, it's dark. And they're really feeling as if they're empty. And the purpose that they thought they had, why they went to school and all the rest, it's just very blurred in their mind. And they're asking me for help. And, of course, I recognize that as wonderful as all these gadgets have been and technology has been, that we have forgotten that we need to see green. We evolve to see green. We evolve to look outside and to see the sunlight,
yes,
to be with others. We're a sociable animal.
We want to be with each other.
We do, and we are working counter to the way we were evolved to be.
What's the remedy? Is it?
Well, these patients often come in and they just say, can you give me a pill? And of course, I'm thinking, well, this is part of the problem, is that we do just want to treat symptoms instead of the core problem. The core problem is that we have forgotten what really gives us a sense of meaning and purpose.
I look into the face of, I got to tell you, I watched the tube. I was downtown with you that wonderful day that the Pope spoke to the folks on Capitol Hill. And I looked into the faces of these people that were there. And there was a sense of hope, of need. There was the need in the face of young people, some. They were looking for something. And the hope was that they were going to find it, that morning on the mall, and I think they may have found a sense of whatever
connection.
The thing.
Absolutely. The word is connection, and you can't connect with a screen. You can't connect with a keyboard. You connect with people, and in the old days, we used to be playing cards or bridge or whatever it was, sitting on the front porch connecting with people, and that's what gives us a sense of connection, kinship, and reverence for life. Technology is fun, but it doesn't do that for us.
I said to somebody down there, I said, well, are you Catholic? They said, no. I said, what religion are you? They said, I don't go to church. I said, you'd never go to church? No. I said, but yet you're here. Why? I'm looking for something. I just, you know, I like this guy. They're whatever that is you're talking about that we as humans need. Many people seem to see it in Pope
they
Francis.
They do. We can see that we can put aside our differences. And that was what was essential about this event on the Mall. We had people from every religion. We had Black Lives Matter up there with youth evangelical climate activists saying 100% clean energy. And that sense of putting aside differences to work for common purpose is such an uplifting experience. We've seen the people together with sandbags when there's a rising river. We're all there together working hard to help each other. Yeah. And that's what gives us a sense of kinship and a sense of reward. And that's what we're looking for.
And one person said to me, he said, you know, I don't go to church. He says, but I'll tell you something. He says, God is earth. Earth is God. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He says, the earth, this is God.
Yes, this is connecting with life. Amazing. And this is what gives us, again, this sense of reward. And there really is a reward center in the brain that does kick off dopamine, it's called. There's oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. Dopamine is the pleasure hormone. We know that these experiences kick that off. So it's not imagined. It's real.
And if you're missing that and haven't had it, you'll look for it anywhere you can find it. And in this case, they were there on the mall.
And the temporary fix comes from the technology. The enduring connection comes from being with people who with shared purpose.
You know, it reminds me, too, some of the parents out listening with their kids out there, this new heroin is, who would have thought it would be back like it is? But again, I think it's about young people looking for something. They're not going to find it in a needle, but they think they will.
Well, because this is a sign of the sense of emptiness, the disconnectedness. And, of course, this age group is texting each other. They don't call each other. They don't meet any, well, they do.
I know what you mean.
There's a disproportionate amount of disembodied communication. And that doesn't work. That's not the way we were evolved. You might as well be in prison talking to somebody on the outside of the wall.
I have three children. Right now, if I want to reach out to them, they will text me. They don't answer a call, but they will respond to a text.
Try leaving a voicemail.
It's amazing.
They won't. This is a different era, and this is how they interact with each other. Now, the pendulum will swing, because what we'll do is the studies will start showing how bad it is for you not to be seeing eye to eye, to feel the chemistry and the body language and all the things that are kind of can't be even described, but that you feel. But what happens is in this disconnected technological world, you don't feel the way you do when you're in the room with a person. And we all know that. That's common sense. But that leaves a missing piece in our spirit.
It does, and we need to fill that. I mean, we have to fill it.
Well, fill it or show up in my office asking for a pill is what it amounts to. And, of course, that's not a solution.
Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, practicing psychiatrist, is my guest here as we talk in the aftermath of Pope Francis's visit, what it means, what it will mean. And when we come back, we'll ask her to kind of wrap things up in her head as to where we should be doing and where we're going. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My special guest is Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, a practicing psychiatrist here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, talking to you about her impressions from watching and listening to Pope Francis, the message that he delivered, which coincides with the world that she sees in terms of what we need to do and how we need to change things. And I think he gets that same message. I mean, you practice medicine, he practices religion, but on a human being, it has much the same impact. It's about what your needs are, what you believe in, and where you think we're headed collectively. He seems to hit that point. You find that. And so then it gets down to ultimately the world we live in and how we treat the world and how it impacts our job, how it impacts our lives, how it impacts our financial well-being. It's all interrelated.
Yes, and I think you can make the point that if people are respectful of the earth, they're going to be more respectful of each other. We are getting straying from the fact that we have to respect life, that we revere nature, that it's a collective attitude about how we feel about each other and the respect that we have for each other. And I think that that's what he especially brought to us, and reviving that notion and raising our consciousness about the fact that we have strayed from that in this very highly technological world that stays in places where we don't even sometimes see nature from one end of the day to the other.
Very, very interesting, too, in that, you know, that we something's missing. I mean, and that's the point. Everywhere, whether it was New York, Washington, or Philadelphia, in the faces of the people, there was that look for something that, you know.
Well, and he has identified that a lot of what we are focused on is profit and profit alone. Now, there's nothing wrong with profit. There's great business out there, but it's profit that benefits people, not profit that benefits individual guys that are potentially hurting the planet and putting profit ahead of the public welfare and the planet. Mm-hmm. And so this is the reality, is that we have all these new jobs that can come from 100% clean energy. We've got 600,000 jobs in the wind power alone in 2013. Those numbers are going to skyrocket as we transition to clean energy. We know there was a speech given by a very famous environmentalist addressing people in Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin, and there are 1,000 startup environmental groups with 30,000 clean energy jobs. So we know that this is the place for people to benefit, not just a few, but for everyone to benefit. And that's the message, putting people and the planet above individual profits so we all benefit.
And I watched this happened, and then that following, there was Putin and Obama, President Obama, and President and Putin. Two men that obviously don't like each other. You can see that.
Body language. And that's what the
So point. My question to you is, can two people who don't like, can anything good come from two people that really don't like each other?
Absolutely. And this is the whole point, is that we can put aside our differences. And it's an opportunity now that we have a planet that is in peril. That's all the scientists say that. Mm-hmm. And we have a planet in peril. This is an amazing opportunity for us to put aside our differences, to work collectively, to find and make solutions so that we're safe and so that our children are safe.
Will we do it? Does human nature suggest to you that we will do that?
Yes, of course. Here's the only issue, and this is, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but the question is, will we do it in time? We're going to do it. We're making the transition now. The logjam, certainly here in the U.S., is on Capitol Hill. But we need all Americans to go in 2016 to look at their candidates, say, who's working for clean energy? And you ask your candidate, and if that person isn't, move on to the next one. It doesn't matter what their affiliation is. But we can do this, but we need to move very quickly.
So people, if you say, what difference do I make, let your vote determine the difference.
Let your vote determine. And, of course, you can do things at home and at work and every place else. But the upstream logjam, we know that some people are not there for one reason or another. Their vested interest is to not change. But it's like investing in typewriters or rotary phones. We got the whole world in front of us, a new world of renewable, clean, renewable energy. Let's go for it.
It is so refreshing to have you on the program. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, practicing psychiatrist, talking about this planet that we all share and how to make it a better place for all of us to live. Thank you, Dr. Lisa, for being with us.
Just a delight to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I hope you've gained something, some perspective. You don't have to agree with everything, but at least think about things and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to make a difference? And one way you can make a difference is by choosing the right person when you vote. Vote. Hope to see you next week. I'll be here, will you? I hope so. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Have a good day.